you know, the conservatory environment is a wonderful place and allows for a lot of great things. However, I think it's really important to remember that the rest of your life is in the outside world and not in the conservatory. And I think that that circles back to so many things about like what it is somebody wants to do with their education and their interests and how they can actually apply that in, you know, in the present day.
This is Max Q, the podcast by Peabody's Launchpad office dedicated to demystifying what life is like after graduation. Every episode, we sit down with a recent alum to get their take on what life is like for working artists in today's world. Multifaceted careers, time management, finances, finding balance between your work and your life. We explore that and more on the Max Q podcast. This week, I'm speaking with Steve Crino, a teacher and composer with a deep focus on vocal music. Steve's creative portfolio includes two award-winning operas, numerous songs, and choral compositions. A passionate interdisciplinary collaborator, he is the co-founder of the Circus Opera Company, a new organization exploring connections between opera and circus arts. Since earning his doctorate in composition from Peabody in 2022, Steve joined Temple University as an adjunct faculty member, where he teaches music theory and music history. Steve, thank you for taking the time to come on Max Q. We're so glad to have you here. I want to start off just by asking if you can tell us a little bit about what your life looks like right now, and that could be mainly in a professional context, but feel free to talk about whatever feels relevant.
Yeah, totally. So right now, I'm based in Philadelphia, and I have a couple different things that I'm doing. So I am teaching music theory at Temple University right now. I also teach private students at a studio in South Philadelphia, where I do private piano lessons, group piano lessons, as well as some drum lessons. I also run a choir there with my fiance. And then I also have my own private students as well that come to the house and all that as well. And then I have a couple other just general projects and things that I'm doing. So we have me and my fiance do cabaret sets that we've built. So I play piano and she sings on those. So we've built up a couple different sets, and taking those around Philadelphia. And then I also do freelance work as a composer and arranger. So I'm always writing pieces or, you know, doing arrangements for folks.
So I'm kind of curious about two things. Let's start with the easier one, or perhaps the easier one first, which is I feel like composers always talk about like, well, you have to have the academic teaching career to support the compositional freelance side of things.
Sure.
So yeah. I guess I'm curious about, you know, one, does that feel like something that you actively sought out?
Yeah, I mean, it's always something I've been interested in doing. During my time at Peabody, I did a master's in composition, and then I did a master's in music theory pedagogy as well. And that was very much in service of trying to, you know, move into the academia world. I think, you know, the reality is that those jobs are pretty tight these days. And so I've always kind of felt that I can't just rely on that exclusively, and to have other, you know, other things going, you know, has definitely kept things exciting. And also, it takes a little bit of the pressure off of, having to, you know, move in a certain direction in academia. So that's been a really kind of nice balance I've found.
Yeah. I am kind of curious, just as, I heard you mentioning, you know, having the pedagogy as part of your studies at Peabody as being part of that plan. But could you just expand a little bit on kind of what was the journey of, you know, actually arriving at that position in terms of, you know, what were the things that you feel like you did, like, you know, pursuing pedagogy that helped with preparing you for it? And then what was kind of the application and process of getting onboarded?
Yeah, sure. So this is my second semester, for what it's worth. So I'm still very much learning things, and it's a new experience. But I would say that the pedagogy program is really great at Peabody because you get a lot of like hands-on teaching experience. You get to work with faculty mentors and just kind of see the behind the scenes of teaching as well, which I think really prepare you well for at least the experience I've had so far teaching at Temple. And that's been a great experience so far, but like, there's just a lot of things that you have to, there's a lot of decisions you have to make without really any guidance or anything. And that just falls back on your own, you know, experience as a teacher. So just like, you know, little things that come up. And I find that having that insight and seeing the behind the scenes of one of my Peabody professors has really helped me step into that role and know how to steer the ship.
Gotcha. Can I, just to drill down a little bit more, because I think one of the pieces that feels really opaque to a lot of students that I talk to is, I mean, how was there anything in particular that you felt like got you out of the, you know, pile of applications that come in for these types of positions? And what was, after you got, you know, probably through that first review phase, what was the rest of the interview and that like?
Yeah, so I mean, it was a pretty quick onboarding process, to be honest. Okay. I think, in truth, I reached out to them and initiated the connection. So I went to Temple for my undergrad and had a great time there, and so I think that was probably one of the factors that you know, just had my name stand out just a little bit more. So they knew who I was. They knew that I've been through their program, so I kind of know how it works and everything. And you know, when I spoke to the department chair when we were, you know, talking about me coming in to teach, he was very specifically interested in my music theory pedagogy degree from Peabody. So I think those, like that combination of, you know, having some sort of, you know, connection to Temple and having, you know, a specific degree that catered towards teaching theory, I think was the combination there.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. So then the other thing I wanted to ask about then is, it seems like you're not just teaching at a higher ed institution. You've got all these other pieces going on. So, I'm very curious about how you went about building out, because it seems like you have a private composition studio, right? But then you also have some kind of applied instrument, teaching that you do as well, and kind of how you built all those pieces out.
Yeah. So it was definitely a very gradual process. So my timeline coming, finishing up at Peabody. So basically, I finished my doctoral coursework, and then right at that moment, like the pandemic hit. And so I then moved back to Philadelphia, and then I finished my, my qualifying exams and all of that stuff, dissertation, big compositions and stuff that I all finished remotely from Philly. At that moment in time, there really wasn't very much going on in terms of, there weren't really any open positions in the arts during COVID. So I definitely had to kind of, you know, make that work. And then as things started opening back up, I reached out to a lot of these different, small studios within Philadelphia, and let them know I was here and I was interested in teaching. And again, at that time, there wasn't very much, but there was a small bit from a few places. So I was kind of, cobbling it together for sure. And then eventually it just, one of them really took off, and like, that was clearly the place I wanted to spend most of my time. And so I just started adding more time and students at that space, and then kind of phased out some of the other places I was working. So, it was definitely a gradual process, and same with my private students. I'm still mostly teaching like private piano students at the house. And that has really been like a word from mouth kind of situation. You know, folks have just said like, hey, I know Steve, and, I think it'd be a good fit and everything. So it's definitely been a gradual process. I still see it as a gradual process when you're kind of trying to establish yourself. It's very difficult for it to happen overnight. But you do just have to keep facilitating relationships, nurture the students and the folks who support you already. And that eventually does kind of snowball into, something that is sustainable. And so, I'm very thankful that, I can say that I support myself, exclusively from music, which is really great. And I'm very, I feel very lucky to be able to say that. But it definitely took time. It took more than a year or two to develop that.
Yeah, I'm You've now mentioned twice that, you know, the source of a lot of these things that you do has come through reaching out. And I'm really curious mm-hmm. to, yet again, this is something that I think can feel a little opaque or frightening for folks. So I guess is that something that you feel like you always kind of did naturally, or is that a skill that you've built? And I would love to hear about that journey.
It is a skill I am still building, honestly. I definitely... you know, I thankfully have, you know, I have a fiance who is wonderful and in the music world as well. And she is always encouraging me to reach out to things. I've found that's been some of the best advice that I've taken is just, you know, putting your name out there. It can be really difficult to do that. And, some folks just feel a little uncomfortable with that idea. You know, I definitely have feelings like that too. But I think that it's really one of the most effective ways to just like start initiating conversations. You really do have to kind of knock on doors and just see. The worst that can happen is they just say no and you're where you are to start, right? So it doesn't really, you know, it's really in service of your journey to just like give it a shot. And, you know, I reached out to many different universities before Temple, you know, came back to me and stuff. So I had plenty of folks be like, yeah, we just don't have anything available right now. We'll keep you in mind, you know. Who knows? That could turn into something that could, or it could be a dead end. But I reached out to maybe 10 or 15 schools in the Philadelphia area. So it was, you know, I cast a wide net. And again, I think that, you know, having gone to Temple, I think was something that, you know, helped initiate that conversation for sure. Yeah, but I think, you know, you do have to be your own advocate as a composer and as a professional musician, because there are so many wonderful folks out there, you know, making music, and you do have to, you know, let people know that you're there too. Sometimes it's, you know, it's not that that you know, folks don't want to work with you. They just don't know that you're available to work with or to collaborate with. So it's just bringing it to their attention. It might be somebody that you're like, that, you know, they may have you in the back of their mind as like, oh yeah, this person's great. Like at some point, maybe we can do something, but there's just no initiation to actually make something happen. And so once you start that conversation, I think folks then do actually begin to think about, like, okay, like how could we make this work? As opposed to it just being this abstract thing that nobody ever, you know, nobody ever like initiates in a significant way.
Yeah, completely. And thank you so much for, you know, sharing how many like places you've reached out to. That's just a great data point to kind of have in mind for everyone who's seeking this kind of work. Okay. I am curious to learn a little bit about, I mean, is this reaching out something that you apply to your freelance compositional work as well? And I don't know if there's a good example that we can kind of transition to talk about that, but.
Yeah. I mean, I think that reaching out and just initiating things on your own, I think are, you know, there's a common thread there. And so what I mean by that is really, so I just finished up a one act opera that was done in the fall. And that was a self-produced project. I did get support from a Peabody Career Development Grant, to help support the funds of it. But in terms of initiating the project and or like administrating and all of that, that was all my own, you know, all my own work. And, you know, it was one of the most fulfilling, you know, like experiences I've had as a composer so far. So I think that, you know, having ideas for things that you want to do and trying to figure out ways to create those things is part of this job as well. I think that it's, you know, I think projects can assemble themselves from a variety of angles. I think there's the more like what I would consider traditional approach of, you know, somebody has this idea for a project and they think of you and they bring you on board, right? So you're more just the recipient of their interest, right? And then sometimes you have something that you really want to do and you're passionate about and you're like, okay, who can I find that would be interested in and would also find, you know, would also want to do this? And then you go from there and decide like, okay, like how can we actually put this together? You know, and so for me, I knew that, like, I write a lot of vocal music and I love opera, and this is my third opera that I've written. But you know, getting opera to happen is expensive and requires a lot of resources, and it's just a huge enterprise, right? So for me, I knew that I wanted to write a chamber opera, so something that I could actually, you know, fund the players to do, and something that was, you know, not too ambitious of a score as well. So the score is about, it's a 70-minute piece, but you know, it's for piano, violin, cello, and two singers. So it's something a lot more manageable. And I'm hoping that, you know, assists it in, you know, getting picked up in the future as well, that it's something that is doable. And then from there, I also, you know, I realized that at the studio that I work at in South Philadelphia, I have access to a performance space, which is a huge resource. And it's not a big performance space. It's like basically the size of a row home, but it was enough to fit about 45 people in there, you know? And what was really important is that I had an audience of people that I had curated from teaching there that really wanted to hear my music. And so those, you know, when people talk about like networking and like, you know, kind of all of this stuff. And I think for me, it's very much just cultivating relationships. I'm not thinking about the idea of networking. I'm just, you know, enjoying my time teaching and just like connecting with people. And that creates, you know, an audience of folks. So it was really great for the premiere. You know, I had a mix of people that I've taught their kids, like some of their parents. I had, you know, professional friends of mine. I've had other industry folks that I invited to the premiere. So it was really a collection of, you know, my own relationships over the different things that I do, kind of coming together into one performance. You know, so in that situation, I kind of knew I had the ability to create an audience. I had a space. I was able to get some funding to help, you know, fund the project. And we just put it together, you know.
Was that the first show you feel like you've self-produced? I'm guessing there were earlier instances.
So definitely that was the largest show that I self-produced. I was in the process of self-producing an opera while I was at Peabody, and then like COVID just kind of like messed that up, unfortunately, as with so many people. So, you know, that was a slightly different circumstance because I had a space and I had, you know, just a different group of folks performing the music. It was also a different opera. So after that piece, that was like my dissertation piece. And I thought about trying to see if I could, you know, resurrect that in some way. And I just felt like I was a different person by the time I wanted to, you know, do a new, you know, by the time, you know, COVID kind of passed through and we could actually get some normalcy back. And yeah, I felt it made sense to just write a new opera. And so that was, and I'm really glad I did, actually. I think that it was, I'm glad that this was like my first opera that got like premiered in a, you know, in a live format. My second opera was a piece that was commissioned by a small Peabody startup called the Podcast Opera Company. And that was a like virtual project during COVID. So that was a slightly different circumstance. So I've written three operas, but this is the first one that has actually had a live performance. So that was really great to see. But I mean, besides that, I think, you know, small projects, like when I was at school and things, like I would, you know, you build up relationships with performers and you create opportunities. We did a, when I was my first year of my master's, we did a choral concert, for example, and set that up and everything. So I think, you know, school is a great time to practice that process. I think that there are certain hurdles that you don't have to go over when you're in school compared to when you are in the real world. But I think it is a great place to start. You learn a lot by just doing it. And so I do think that it's important to actually just set out and try it and figure out, you know, figure it out as you go.
So you mentioned learning a lot while you're doing this process of self-production. I'm kind of curious if there's any tidbits you'd want to pass along, you know, a couple ideas from the most recent project.
I would say be prepared to wear every single hat when you're in this process.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, for me, I, you know, was functioning as the composer, of course. I was functioning as the conductor. I was functioning as the administrative, as the fundraiser, as Sometimes, you know, I would work with the singers one-on-one, so I was the rehearsal pianist occasionally. So you do have to pull all your skills together to do these things. You know, it's that does take up a lot of time. It's a lot of work. But again, it is fun. That part of the process is also very fun and rewarding. You know, but I think, yeah, be prepared to, you know, learn how to make a budget sheet when for grants and how to, you know, just figure out how to schedule folks efficiently and like all that stuff that it, you know, you really have to facilitate all that stuff. It doesn't just happen. If you just kind of like take your hand off the wheel, it will just go somewhere else. You do have to kind of, you know, direct it towards the results and everything.
This is changing topics just a bit. What is your approach to kind of promoting your work? I'd say both as, you know, kind of from the studio perspective and teaching perspective, but also of course in your compositional projects.
Yeah, I mean that can be sometimes a challenging thing. I think it's the same muscles that you use to reach out to folks you use to promote your stuff. And so that can sometimes be difficult, but you know, I have, you know, social media platforms that I certainly use. You know, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook. I have my own website. I think word of mouth is also really important, like actually reaching out to folks. You know, when I had the opera, when the opera was underway, you know, we thought about like, okay, like who would be interested in attending this performance, you know, and actually like think about it and reach out to them and just see, you know, many of those folks are busy and have plenty of other things going on, but like many of them are like, oh, I'm so glad you told me. I really would love to be there. You know, I had a collaborator that I worked with, a really fantastic writer who's based in Baltimore. And, you know, I told her about the opera and I was like, hey, I know it's a hike, no pressure, but like, this is something I'm doing. If you want to be there, I'd love to see you and everything. And she drove up from Baltimore to come see it, you know? So you just never know who's going to show up. And so you just have to, you know, let them know, give them the opportunity to do so and everything.
Yeah, no, I just gave a solo recital a couple weeks ago. And people really do appreciate the personal reach out. It makes such a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. I am curious to kind of drill down into, I mean, how do you interact with the social media platforms too? Cause I feel like that's such it holds a space in terms of, you know, there's this whole should about we should be promoting ourselves on there, I feel like. And mm-hmm. I don't know. What's your take?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have mixed feelings about like social media and the way we use social media for sure. I mean, that could be a whole podcast in itself, but I mean, you know, but I think, I do think it is a nice, you know, vector for promoting your work. I think it allows for, you know, like sound bites and different things and, visuals that, you know, you might not, you know, be able to show folks, you know. It also just keeps, I think one of the things that I find is helpful with social media is it just allows you to stay connected to a lot of people in a very quick kind of way where, you know, it's not, again, it's not that somebody's uninterested in what you're doing. It's just that, you know, everybody has a million things going on. And so you do have to, it's, you know, I think it takes more energy for somebody to seek you out than it does for them to just like, see what you're doing. You know what I mean? It can be a little bit more like, it's a little more passive and they can be like, oh yeah, like Steve's got a piece that's coming up. That's great. Or, oh, I'd love to hear a little bit of this. And you know, I definitely saw results from that, from just general interest in my music. Many folks reached out to me via social media after I posted an excerpt of the opera or, you know, some of the advertisements before it was premiered and were like, hey, please, like, I can't make it, but please like send me something, I'd love to hear it. Or like, so people do connect with you that way, because again, it's an easy, quick way to do it. And it's not that they're uninterested. It's just, you know, again, like people just have so many things they're juggling that it's, you know, it needs to be easy in many ways. So in that regard, I think social media can be helpful, you know. And I think having a website is helpful too, because you do need to have a place to direct people who are interested in what you're doing. And so I've definitely had folks reach out to me via my website, interested in purchasing scores or, you know, composition lessons, private, you know, any kind of like, piano, drums, all that stuff. So having a way for people to actually connect with you is really critical. And I think having a website that gives people a sense of what you do, if they're trying to, you know, it might be somebody who's, you know, looking for a piano teacher and they just want to know like, okay, what is this person about, you know? And so, you know, they see like, oh, he's a composer too. And like, it just creates you get the whole picture. And then you have a way for them to actually reach out to you. So I do think it is really important to have that presence, you know, but it does, you know, sometimes it's hard to self-promote constantly and everything.
Yeah, obviously we here at Launchpad are big fans of websites. And the other thing I tell to students that are skeptical is you want to make sure you have a platform that you control. Instagram can change at the drop of a hat. Mm-hmm. What you can post. So having that spot where you can actually, you know, build out, this is how I want to guide users mm-hmm. through it. I completely agree. I'm kind of curious about, I know you're coming out of a doctorate program, which I think is a slightly different place from, you know, the master's or definitely bachelor's level folks. But mm-hmm. When you started your program at Peabody, was there a particular kind of set of goals or way you expected your life to look after graduation? And like, how has that changed now? Like, what has changed about your kind of goals and expectations?
Sure. I mean, I think that I definitely had specific goals coming into Peabody. I knew at that time I was really interested in vocal music and opera. I knew that I wanted to somehow, you know, I knew I wanted to go in that direction. And I had already been going in that direction while I was at Temple. Most of my pieces that I had written were vocal pieces, you know, and so in many ways, it doesn't feel like I kind of knew what I wanted to do and I was just continuing forward. And like Peabody was like the next place to kind of like nurture that, I think. But at the same time, I mean, I do think that, you know, you make plans and then life happens. And so you do have to like see what that looks like. So a couple examples. So when I originally looked at Peabody, one of the things I was particularly interested in was the Opera Etudes program, which is a really great program. And like, I know Peabody still does this program. The year that I went, just the way that it didn't really align the way that I was hoping it would. So I didn't end up doing the program. And instead I wrote my own opera, and that was my dissertation piece. And so that was kind of like one change in direction, but still like, okay, I know this is what I want to do. So how do I keep doing that thing? So I was like, fine, I'll make my own opera. And that's great. It was able to be a much bigger piece than what Opera Etudes could provide because they have multiple students. So I write that opera dissertation piece. So that checks that box for requirements, but COVID hits, I can't get the piece performed. So that's another kind of turn, right? However, the folks that I was going to collaborate with for that piece, one of them was interested in doing this podcast opera company thing, for example. And because we were already in conversation, he was like, hey, I have an idea. Why don't we do another opera project in this platform instead? Nobody can really do anything in person. This was like 2020, height of COVID and all of that. So we were like, why don't we do this instead? So one of the singers that I was going to work with was, again, started this. And then the other singer ended up being the librettist for the project. So that created another, you know, situation. And I got to do this piece called Friend's House, which was this podcast opera piece that I wrote. That was a really cool experience. And, you know, some of the excerpts from that have gone on and like gotten recognized in like competitions and different things. One of them got done at the Opera America stage in New York. So that kind of took its own strange path, you know, and then from there, I ended up self-producing this new opera. So that was kind of one series of twists and turns that like the interest stayed the same, but just how you accomplish that actually changed several times. And I think it's, you have to stay adaptable when, you know, in this world.
Definitely.
I think the other place where things have kind of changed a little bit has been in my work with like private students at the studio in South Philly. It's been such a great experience working there just because you get a very different, like, you get a different cross-section of students and like what they're interested in music. But it's a really wonderful, like, it's a really wonderful atmosphere, and it's folks who are who just love music and just like want to, it's just very much like joy first with that. And I think that's been a really like beautiful thing to have in my teaching career. And I think that has also found its way back to my college teaching as well. And just kind of remembering to keep things really fun and like engaging. So that's definitely been something I wasn't in, like, I wasn't expecting that, you know, during my time, but, it just kind of organically happened, and the community around that place has been so great and supportive of like myself as a teacher and also as an individual artist. And again, that place is really what facilitated me to produce this most recent opera of mine. So it really did kind of converge with my, my other interests and my initial interests. So you do have to look out for that as things kind of emerge naturally, seeing how they align with what you're already interested in doing. So I think that's, yeah, those have been a couple twists and turns, you know, for sure.
Is there any advice that you would want to offer to current Peabody students?
Yeah, absolutely. A couple things, actually. I would say the first thing is that, you know, the conservatory environment is a wonderful place and allows for a lot of great things. However, the outside world is not the same as a conservatory. And I think it's really important to remember that the rest of your life is in the outside world and not in the conservatory, and do with that information what you'd like. But I think that that circles back to so many things about like what it is somebody wants to do with their education and their interests and how they can actually apply that in, you know, in the present day. Here's an example. So right now, so me and my fiance collaborate in a number of ways. And one way that we are collaborating most recently is, so her background is she's a classically trained singer, and she's also a circus artist and was a competitive gymnast her entire life. So we've actually been creating like opera that merges circus and like opera. And so that is something that doesn't really exist very much. And we are, you know, trying to create it. And, you know, one of the things I talked about with her is that like oftentimes when you're in school, there's this need to want to fit a box and you're looking to find a way into that box because that's what is presented to you. And then you, once you leave, you realize that actually like you have such a more interesting box to put, you know, like there's so much more to you than what you do at school. And finding a way to really connect all those things, I think ultimately that's what actually makes you more interesting and gives you some, gives you a push in your career, is finding these other things and how they come together in new ways. So it's just important to remember that when you're in school, that like, you know, that, yeah, there's just a lot of times things will, it's easy to get stuck in those boxes, and just remember that like, you've got to define yourself and, and that's where the interesting stuff happens. The other thing that I would say is utilize the resources that you have at a school. There's so many great resources. You have concert halls, you have ample performers, you have ample composers. That is something that doesn't stay with you necessarily. I mean, the networks are there, they're out there, but just the, you know, you're usually not walking around 50 violinists, you know what I mean? Like, so just keep that in mind. Like, it's such a great place, to, you know, and there's so many amazing, talented people all in one place. Like, so utilize this. Like, I wish everybody could hear that every day who's at a school. It's just, please make sure they utilize the resources. And I think the last thing that I would say, is when you're in school, try new things. I know that seems a little cliche, but like, you know, if you're a composer, write things outside of your comfort zone. If you're a performer, try it, play in a different style. Just try things that are different, because when you get out into the world, you might find that you get taken in those directions, and you know, that becomes something that you're doing a little bit more, you know? And so it's good to just to see what's out there and to, you know, have the experience of doing it. You never know how these things circle back and reinform, you know, your career. So yeah, I think those are the big pieces of advice, I would say.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat. And I really appreciate hearing about what you're doing. Thanks. Thanks again.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. It's been great.
Closing out the episode is Stay for a While, a section from Steve's opera, Six Autumns on the Hudson. You can find more of his work at www.stevecrino.com.